Last Word on Today FM.
Roe McDermott, Movies Editor of Hot Press. Let's not engage in speculation about the circumstances of the death of the actor Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, found dead in their home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Let's talk about Gene Hackman's career. Now, 95 years of age, he hasn't been in a movie, I think, for the best part of two decades. But I suspect everyone knows his work. What do you think of first? What movies when you think of Gene Hackman?
I think one that I hadn't seen for a long time and I heard so many people talk about and I only watched last year was The Conversation from 1974. And he plays this paranoid surveillance expert entangled in this potential murder plot. And it's just a masterclass of both a movie and a performance. The film is all about paranoia and listening to sounds under sounds. And I think for me, and I'd seen, you know, Hackman in comedy performances like The Royal Tenenbaums and Heartbreakers and then classic and The Birdcage and classics then like The French Connection. But in The Conversation, there's such brilliant internal conflict in this character who wants to connect with people but is so scared, and it's minimal dialogue. And I think for me, that highlighted how incredible an actor he was when he was silent and his expression. So I think that was a new one for me that I really, really appreciate. But I mean, you know, won an Oscar for, of course, The French Connection, playing Detective Jimmy Popeye Doyle.
Well, actually, let's hear a clip of this. The unconventional cop, and this was his first Oscar that he won.
Who's your connection, Willie? What's his name?
What?
Answer him! No, man, no!
Hey, no.
Is it Joe the Barber?
What?
Joe the Barber, right? No. That's who it is, isn't it? Don't give us any shit. What's Joe's last name?
I don't know, man!
Give me a chance.
Hey, all I know is there's a 125th Street, man. About the barbershop.
What side of the street do you live on? North or south?
I don't know what to tell
you
about, man. I don't know.
I'm asking you what side of the street he lives on.
Hey, shithead. When's the last time you picked your feet, huh?
Yeah, what's he talking about?
I've got a man in Poughkeepsie who wants to talk to you. Have you ever been in Poughkeepsie? Huh? Have you ever been in Poughkeepsie?
Hey, man, come on, give me a break. Hey, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Let me hear you say it. Come on. Have you ever been in Poughkeepsie? You've been in Poughkeepsie, haven't you?
I want to hear it! Come on! Yes, I've...
You've been there, right?
Yeah.
You sat on the edge of the bed, didn't you? You took off your shoes, put your finger between your toes and picked your feet, didn't you? Now say it!
Yes!
All right. You put a shoe on my partner. You know what that means? God damn it! All winter long, I got to listen to him gripe about his bowling scores. Now, I'm going to bust your ass for those three bags, and I'm going to nail you for picking your feet for Poughkeepsie.
I believe his energy there was perhaps prompted by his contempt for his director.
Possibly. And I mean, I think what was so interesting about Gene Hackman is he became known for these really gritty, intense roles. Like, he played another kind of ruthless sheriff in The Unforgiven. But
and he got a Best Supporting Oscar for that, didn't
he? Best Supporting Oscar for that in 1992. And so he was so famous and so beloved, but also was very open about the fact that he really did not like the industry and he did not like fame and he had no interest in the trappings of it. So in interviews, it would often come across as quite cantankerous, which played into this image of, you know, this is a stoic man, which I think made his later comedic roles kind of a joy to see that he could play with those. But he was always incredible at embracing this very intense, volatile energy. But then he could play things like I Never Sang for My Father in 1970, which he was nominated for a Best Supporting Actor, where he plays this conflicted son struggling with his relationship with his aging father. And he brought such quiet poignancy to that role and empathy for that role. And then again, three nominations along with his two wins, of course, Bonnie and Clyde, which was his first Oscar nomination in 1967.
Another listener loved him in Mississippi Burning.
Mississippi Burning, again, an Oscar nomination for Best Actor. This really powerful performance as an FBI agent investigating civil rights murders. And it was, again, this blend of that toughness, that volatility, but also empathy and dignity.
Well, his listener says, Gene Hackman at his menacing righteous best in the Ku Klux Klan social club scheme in Mississippi Burning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there is just so much volatility and empathy and dignity to his roles. But again, like, if you look back at the movies he was in, like The French Connection, Bonnie and Clyde, Superman then, I went in a completely different direction in 1978, Wyatt Earp, Crimson Tide, just these iconic roles showcasing his abilities across the year. And of course, was quiet in the past couple of years, past few decades, but I think his legendary status just lives on.
Indeed. Okay. Gene Hackman, lots of people said in Crimson Tide, Runaway Jury were sleeper classics, says another listener. One, he was brilliant in The Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood, another one coming in relation to The Unforgiven. So a lot of love out there for Gene Hackman's
work. And then when Wes Anderson like pops up in
Royal Tenenbaums, is a terrific movie.
And it was just a performance none of us expected from him, but he was so brilliant as the patriarch, manipulative, eccentric patriarch of this eccentric, dysfunctional family. And it was humour and vulnerability and wit and comedic and touching, and again, when contrasting with some of those earlier, more intense performances, just a joy to see.
Okay, tell us about a movie we can go and see at the weekend, The Last Showgirl with Pamela Anderson.
And directed by Gia Coppola, so niece to Sofia Coppola, great-granddaughter to Francis Ford Coppola. And this has all the ingredients for this really poignant, reflective drama. It's about a once glamorous Las Vegas review on its last legs, a showgirl who used to be front and centre with the glitz and glamour, struggling to stay relevant, and then this city and this industry that has moved on without her. So Pamela Anderson starring as Shelley. She's the oldest showgirl at Le Razzle Dazzle, and she has been here for 30 years, and she's always been fiercely proud of a show that feels like a relic from another area, and she's an era, and she's really invested in the history of this. She keeps saying, you know, it's a descendant of the Parisian Lido culture, but what it's turned into is something slightly more seedy. The glitz is coming off it, the rhinestones are falling off, and the industry itself is kind of dying. And the disconnect between the pride she feels in this art form and the fact that her entire identity has always been wrapped up in this showgirl persona, and the fact that it's moving on without her sends her into a bit of a spiral, because when Le Razzle Dazzle announces its closure, she's left thinking, you know, what will I be, what will I do, and most importantly, was it worth it?
Let's hear a clip from it in which she's left stranded when her show abruptly closes.
I love the show. I love it. I feel so good about myself in the show, and you and Marianne and Hannah can't understand, but the costumes, the sets, being bathed in that light night after night, feeling seen, feeling beautiful. That is powerful, and I can't imagine my life without it. I just think it's wild that, you know, I'm the one who's been on the stage all these years, that I'm the one people come for, that I'm the one on the poster, and you, Eddie, are going to go on to this show or that show, and the producers will just place you elsewhere because you know how to read a lighting cue? You just tell someone to push a damn button. And you're going to be just fine. And I just have to disappear. Well, you know what? I have no regrets.
Is she good? Is the movie good?
It's mixed. I think Pamela Anderson, for her, is such an important role, because I think Pamela Anderson, of course, you know, known for Baywatch, but often her sex symbol status kind of made people not think that she was talented. And I also think it's a good metaphor for working class actors who are increasingly being pushed out of an industry that supports younger people, that supports bigger budgets. So I think thematically it's really important. I think some of her moments in this are beautiful and shining. As you heard in that clip, she imbues Shelley with this kind of girlishness. She's very optimistic, she's very cheerful, but there's almost a desperation behind that. If I let this go, you know, will I have to accept the reality of life? And also there's an immaturity to her character that's really interesting, of thinking, I've given up everything to be a showgirl, what responsibilities have I eschewed? But also the girlishness comes from a place of, if you're a woman who has always, your entire worth and identity has been tied up in being seen as desirable, how do you feed into that by this performance of femininity? So I think some of that is really interesting. Some of the more heftier scenes, I think she struggles a little bit. But I will say there's really, really gorgeous cultural critiques there. It's also shot beautifully. Gia Coppola, she really captures the kind of pinks hues of Las Vegas, and it kind of has this wistful, dreamlike quality that embodies Shelley's dream of this place, that it's about glamour and it's about joy. But then the interiors are a bit grubby, a bit murkier, so it's showing the underside of this. Jamie Lee Curtis also plays Shelley's best friend. Absolute scene stealer. Jamie Lee Curtis, like, chewing the scenery as a woman who is again aging out of an industry. Dave Bautista, really quiet, beautiful, soulful supporting role. So slightly uneven, but I think the themes and the performances are really, really nice.
Lots more listeners coming in about Gene Hackman, one from Lex Luthor and Superman. Another one says The Poseidon Adventure. I think Gene Hackman played a priest. Another one says Gene Hackman was brilliant in Enemy of the State. And one that says, you mentioned it, I think, did you ever see The Birdcage? Wonderful.
Yes.
Movie with Robin Williams, Gene Hackman, Nathan Lane, Calista Flockhart. So funny. Gene Hackman so funny as a Republican governor visiting his daughter's fiancé's family trying to avoid scandal. Oscar night at the weekend. I think it's Sunday evening, is it?
Yes, it is. Very late.
Is it going to be all over the place, the awards? Spread all over various movies?
I think there's going to be some interesting splits. I think some interesting things are happening. So A Real Pain, for example, nominated for Best Original Screenplay, but not nominated for Best Picture. I think Anora is going to be possibly...
Sorry, A Real Pain will possibly get Best Supporting Actor for Kieran.
Definitely Best Supporting Actor for Kieran Culkin. I cannot wait to see his speech. He just throws away these hilarious speeches that he presents as not being practiced. I think he might secretly practice this one because he's been absolutely sweeping the boards. I think Anora is going to do very, very well. I think Sean Baker is going to win for Anora because Sean Baker, first of all, beloved. I think he's such a huge champion of cinema, and Anora itself is just such a gorgeous movie. It's just so much fun and it has a lot of goodwill behind it. I think Best Actor might be up for grabs. I think Adrian Brody should and possibly will get it.
The Brutalist is a compelling movie.
And he's incredible in it. And I think what he has to do in that movie is incredible. And he's poised to become, I think, the 11th person who has won it twice or more than once. I think A Complete Unknown's Timothy Chalamet won at the SAG Awards, which was a bit of a surprise over Adrian Brody. But I don't think that the SAG Awards were ever going to go for something as intense as The Brutalist. I think Ralph Fiennes is picking up a lot of goodwill for Conclave, but I just think what Adrian Brody does in The Brutalist is going to swing it for him. I also think Best Actress. So, of course, this category has come with a lot of controversy because of the tweets and horrible xenophobia that came from the star of Netflix's Emilia Perez, who was a frontrunner, but I think this is definitely going to go for Demi Moore because she's so incredible in Substance, and also she's a veteran of Hollywood, she's so beloved, and also the fact that The Substance is about women aging, the pressure to be beautiful, and Demi Moore's narrative around that, her own experience around that is so compelling. I will say I think Fernanda Torres in I'm Still Here puts in a really, really beautiful performance, and I would not at all be disappointed if she won, but I don't think she will. And I think Best Supporting Actress will go to Zoe Saldana. I think the goodwill is there to carry her through, even though the controversy around Emilia Perez has been there. But I think Anora is going to be the big winner.
Okay, there's loads more coming in about Gene Hackman, people and their movies. Gene Hackman in The Replacements with Keanu Reeves, brilliant movie. The Chamber, top class movie opposing the death penalty, says another listener. Another one says, the list of them, French Connection, Royal Tenenbaums, The Firm, such a range of movies. And then there's no Bat 21.
Haven't seen it.
Haven't seen that. Amazing actor, very sad end to his life. Okay, well, indeed, very sad indeed. Thank you very much, Roe McDermott from Hot Press.
The Last Word on Today FM.